You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this broadcast today. We always look forward to having your dialogue and discussion, your input, as we discuss the issues. We're going to be discussing an issue today that I believe is vital for us to understand, grasp, and inculcate in our hearts and minds based on the authority of Scripture. I'm calling it the battle for the Bible, the battle for the Bible. And very succinctly put, this week, meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, it's a Southern Baptist Convention, and there is a battle over the veracity, the verifiability, and the authority of the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that on this broadcast. It's not meant to be denigrative or divisive, but informative as to what is taking place and the need for believers in particular to depend solely on the authority of Scripture. It is not the responsibility of a denomination or a convention to argue with, to wrestle over, to debate about what should be done theologically, doctrinally, and biblically when God's Word has already set forth the truth of what God has for us as believers. God sets the standard. And the standard of God is in the Word of God. And that ought to be first, foremost, and final in every convention, every denomination across the nation. Across denominational lines today, we have the conventions meeting, denominational conventions taking place, where there's a debate in each and every one of them about how should we live, what should we do, what should we embrace, what ought we to say no about. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's a push for the numbers, nickels, and noses in most every denomination in an attempt to increase the membership role that causes them to lose focus of what does the Word of God say. So we'll be talking about some of the major, major things that are being discussed this week in Nashville with the Southern Baptist Convention that I believe ought not to be. Very succinctly put, let me say in advance, I believe that the debate, the clamor, the divisiveness is over issues that ought not to be debated. It should simply be, this is what the Word of God says. That settles it, whether you want to stay in the convention or not. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, it is very simply put, we make the determination on what is said and done and how we face the issue based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, if the Word of God is truth, why seek truth anyplace else? If the Word of God is truth, why do we want to bend it, modulate it, modify it, and add man's ideas and philosophies and make that become dominant over the Word of God? It is the truth of the Word of God that ought to make the final decision. It was George Orwell, many years ago, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that happening today, even in so-called religious denominations and their conventions. It was Jim DeMint, the former senator, U.S. senator, that said, America's decline is linked with the death of truth. The death of truth. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we ought to look at and allow to direct our footsteps. I believe truth of the Word of God ought to be the ingredient that makes the determination with the leadership of any convention of any denomination. And if that's not the case, then cease, desist, stop calling it a Christian denomination or organization. It's the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I recommend that today. Seeking the truth. That's what we want to do in this broadcast each and every day, is determine the truth based on the authority of Scripture, not denominational dogma, not philosophical, ideological bent, not on political rhetoric, but based on what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about the lawn care equipment for either homeowner or the professional. And Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark. It's a 165-foot flagpole flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's got Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag, the U.S. flag, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen and hear a prerequisite statement in relationship to this broadcast today. We invite your calls, your comments, your dialogue, and discussion. This broadcast is not designed to try to harm or destroy the Southern Baptist Convention at all. It is not because I have a personal interest and or detached from that personal interest. It's a matter that I simply want to communicate the truth of the Word of God when I see what is taking place within the realm of the hierarchy of the convention that calls itself a Christian organization. I'm concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue. The battle for the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Bible speaks, listen very carefully. This sets the stage. If the Bible speaks on an issue, and it does, if the Bible gives definitive directions on issues, and the Bible does, if the Word of God is supposed to be that which is the underpinning foundation for Christian faith and for Christian action, why should any denomination, why should any so-called Christian, why should any individual that says that they have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, why should we question what should be done about an issue, whether it's a social issue, political issue, or a theological, biblical issue? God has already given us the answer in His book called the Bible. I commend it to you. I make that statement each and every day. So my definitive question in setting the precedence for what we're going to say, if God has already given us the answer in these requisite questions and problems. Why should we go back then and try to figure out how can we fix it? How should we do it? What should our position be as a Christian, as an individual, or as a denominational oversight body? Why is it that we are in a society today where it's evident that individuals have become so pious, so knowledgeable, so having such a sense of power and authority that there somehow has come to be that thought that regardless of what the Word of God says, we need to modulate what we say and the position that we take so that we can be a larger umbrella, a larger tent. You've heard that before, haven't you? That we need to be enlarge the tent to include more people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the fallacy, the problem today with the Democratic Party and with the Republican parties, any political party. And it's the problem today, ever-increasing problem with every denomination. It is a struggle in the days of apostasy where there is the great falling away. It's the struggle with the man-made convention mindset and modus operandi that simply says we're going to do everything we can to prevent the falling away. We're going to do that by man-made ideas and philosophies. We're going to do that to embrace as many people as possible to prevent there from being the loss of numbers, nickels, and noses. Ladies and gentlemen, across the denominational lines today, most every denomination appears to be questioning, challenging God's word on the validity of its authority. Now, if we claim to be saved, if it's a Christian organization, if it's a Christian church, I've said for many, many, many years, ladies and gentlemen, just bring it down from the denominational oversight convention and organizational structure. Bring it down to the church itself, each individual body of Christ, each individual church, ladies and gentlemen. Most churches have constitution and bylaws. You've seen those, haven't you? Most of the time, they're laughable documents, meaningless documents, because it's not founded, not developed from placing the authority on the Word of God. It is simply what a denomination believes or says or practices, and then it is reduced to written form as the guideline for that particular church. But ladies and gentlemen, the authority ought to be in and the validity ought to be found on the sole authority of the Word of God. A good example today, ladies and gentlemen, is let me just give you two or three good examples, and then we'll take our first caller in just a moment. A good example is the LGBTQ agenda. God's Word's already set forth what He says about that. It's a sodomite lifestyle. God's Word has already settled it as to whether or not it is to be embraced by the Christian church, the Christian community, or the Christian denomination. So why should there be an argument or a debate from any denomination about whether or not to embrace the sodomites? The sodomites, ladies and gentlemen, their plan is to infiltrate every aspect of society, including the churches and the denominations and the conventions across American soil. The Bible clearly condemns sodomy. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, expressly states that those living the lifestyle of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda will die and go to a devil's hell lest they repent of sin and say yes to Jesus. That's what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, and such were some of you. That is, some of them in the church at Corinth had come out of a background, had come out of a lifestyle of what is identified in the 9th and 10th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But you have been washed, you've been saved, he says. You've said yes to Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It is not left up to a denomination, whether it's Southern Baptist or Presbyterian, a Methodist, or any other hierarchical body that claims to be a Christian denomination. It's not left up to that denomination to ascertain whether or not they should embrace the sodomite lifestyle. And yet that is one of the major, 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 can I say again, major issues that's facing every denomination, including the Southern Baptist Convention, at this week's debate, dialogue, and discussion on the subject. In fact, there's a full page or better article in the Wall Street Journal just the other day that's telling as to what the Southern Baptist Convention is grappling with and fighting over as to what they ought to do. But the Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. We're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging God, and He'll direct our path. That is the prescription. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Do you have the question or comment, please?
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. I am very blessed, and I am so grateful for this subject, amen, that you're speaking on for today. Basically, Dr. Youngblood, it's been a question in my heart and mind when I watched the response of the church community lately to various issues that are challenging the church as well as the whole world that we have to live in. As you know, just recently, I took a trip to Orlando, Florida, and I was down there for a couple of days, and I watched the pastors in that area celebrate the Gay Pride Community Day. I could not understand that to save my life. How could they take a stance like they did? Now, I'm not saying that we ought to beat up on anybody, but Dr. Youngblood, if it's sin, and if God says it's sin, and if his word says it's sin, then it should be case closed. It's all over. We don't have to sit there and wrestle with that situation to try to decide how we should live or how we should think or how we should judge that situation when the word of God clearly states that it's sin. Now, if we are the people of God, we are members of God's family, whatever God says, then we ought to be in unison with what he says and with what his word says. So I have to, again, I'm grappling with this situation to try to find out or to try to realize, come to a realization. Where does the church stand? Where does the Christian community stand on a lot of these issues? Because it seems like they're having a time trying to make decisions on sinful situations when it shouldn't be that way, Dr. Youngblood. If you are reading the word of God, you're getting the clear answer. As you say over and over on this program, it is the truth book. God doesn't have any reason to tell us lies or to lead us down the wrong path. Whatever he says in his word, Dr. Youngblood, for the Christian, the whole Bible ought to be the truth. We shouldn't ought to have any questions excepting what the word of God says to us. Amen?
Pastor, you're exactly right, and you were spot on with your hitting the nail on the head, as the old cliche goes. When you observe what you just stated about the pastors and the churches in the Orlando area, it's taking place across the nation. And this week, started Sunday, and they'll conclude on Wednesday afternoon, the Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. They're grappling with the question of the LGBTQ. I'm looking at part of the article in the Wall Street Journal, dated Sunday, June the 12th and the 13th. It's the two-day paper from the Wall Street Journal. And it says this about the Southern Baptist Convention and their debates that will have. By the way, the Southern Baptist Convention will be debating about the critical race theory, the LGBTQ agenda, and the ordination of women as pastors. That's the three issues, major issues that's divisive they'll be grappling with during the course of this week. But this, let me just pluck out an article, a portion of this article, and read it. Southern Baptist leaders have been trying to win younger and more diverse members, the scripture says, the article says here. But while younger evangelicals are still conservative, studies show that they're more radically diverse. The radically diverse means they're more likely to support the rights of LGBTQ people and immigrants and less supportive of Mr. Trump and his policies. End quote. What is taking place, Pastor, within the Southern Baptist Convention and with every other major denomination is because of the great falling away, by the way, since 2016 to present, Southern Baptist Convention has lost their figures, not mine. They've lost about 2.2 million people have left the convention, 2.2 million people. It's a pretty good drop. In fact, out of 176 years of the Southern Baptist Convention, it's the largest drop in the past 100 years, 2.2 million. But there is the issue they're trying to grapple with, bringing in the younger group, and in the younger group, evidently not realizing that only 4% of that age group would have a biblical worldview, only 4%. And they have the feeling in the sense that we need to embrace the sodomite lifestyle, we need to embrace the critical race theory. And so, therefore, in order to appease the numbers, nickels, and noses, they're watering down the gospel. They are destroying the truth of the Word of God. They are disavowing and disallowing, thus saith the Word of God. Thus, I call it a battle for the Bible. And that is exactly what one reporter said many, many years ago when questioning Bill Hybels about what they were doing with the church in Billington, Illinois. was, isn't it true, can it be said, that in order to have a sellout crowd, you're selling out the gospel? And I think that applies in this scenario today. In order to have a sellout number, they're selling out the gospel. And I believe that's the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental problem with it in our churches and with the denomination.
Amen. Well, Dr. Youngblood, another thing, you know, I always said this down through the years. I've been ministering and in Christ for about 36 years now, and I've seen many times in life scenarios change, different challenges, you know, are focused toward the church. And sometimes even in our own private lives, we are faced with different challenges.
Yes.
But what does the Word of God say about that?
That's the key.
What should we be doing? Every Christian need to know and understand. And of course, I don't want to take up all of the time, but Dr. Youngblood, they really need to know. And I'm speaking to the ones who are blood washed, born again, saved, those who have said yes to Jesus Christ. Know and understand, my friend, that if you don't accept that Bible, the one that you're toting under your arm, throwing on the shelf when you get home and don't read it but one time a week, should be shame on you. We need to consult that Word every day. We need the Word of God every day in our lives. Because he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us, Dr. Youngblood, that God is the righteous judge of the whole earth. And we need to know and understand, Dr. Youngblood, when we stand before the great white throne, when we stand before the bema seat of Christ Jesus, we are going to be judged by the things that are written out of that book, because that book is the truth. God is the source, but that book is the ruling principle in our lives.
Amen, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that footnote and for that word of challenge to our listeners today. God
Amen.
Bless you, and thank you, Brother Davis. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the battle for the Bible, and it's coming out of our conventions across the nation. Southern Baptist Convention meeting this week in Nashville. They're battling over what they ought to do with the CRT, that's the critical race theory, and the LGBTQ agenda, and the ordination of women. I believe we have Dan on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning,
you know,
Dan.
I'm
I hope
great.
You're doing well.
I'm doing well. Better than I deserve.
Amen. Both of us.
I'm a great advocate of the Patriots Bible because of the fact that in this Bible, it is the Founding Fathers' faith, their words, statements, everything is in here of our history and the purpose of the Bible as they saw it and as they instituted it throughout our entire society back then. I'd like to read this one little couple paragraphs here. The Bible as a school textbook. Fisher Ames, 1758 to 1808, a founder and politician who helped formulate the Bill of Rights, stated, now I think that's important. He was one of the ones who helped write the Bill of Rights, so he must be a very wise man. Okay, it goes, we have a dangerous trend beginning to take place in our education. We're starting to put more and more textbooks into our schools. We become accustomed of late of putting little books into the hands of children containing fables and moral lessons. We are spending less time in the classroom on the Bible, which should be the principal text of our schools. The Bible states these great moral lessons better than any other man-made book. That tells me that the Bible should be in our schools. And I hope one day to spearhead a crusade to put it back in our schools. And the key is, what have we got to lose because it was there once when we were a godly nation? So let's put it back in and see if we can restore this country and this nation back to biblical principles. That's the strength of the Bible.
You're exactly right. Thank you for that input and for that emphasis. You're exactly right. In fact, my position is, if we believe that the Bible is what we say that it is as Christians and as mainline evangelical denominations, why then Are we challenging the Word of God, battling over the Word of God, and trying to make determinations as to whether or not we should embrace the Sodomite lifestyle in our churches and in denominations, making the decisions on whether or not we need to embrace the critical race theory, which is the socialist, communist, Marxist, divisive, dividing tool in the world? Why should we make a determination outside of what the Bible says when it comes to whether or not we should ordain women as pastors of churches? What should we do? I believe that we need to go back to the Bible, just as you said. And if most Christian denominations would argue, just as you've just stated so eloquently, that we need to put the Bible back in the classroom, they will say that. And at the same time, I believe abandoning, by practicality, abandoning the truths of the Word of God, with wrestling with and debating over what we should do in our denominations and in the churches across the nation. Dan, thank you so much for your input and for the wise words. Thank you so much, and I pray that you'll keep looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the battle for the Bible. And the question that I'm setting forth, the question that I am making as the prerequisite for this deep, but yeah, very brief discussion today on the issue of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Nashville, Tennessee this week, battling over, debating, and it's become very divisive about the critical race theory and the LGBTQ and ordaining women. There may be other peripheral issues, but those are the three major things that's being battled out this week, where man is trying to decide what ought we to do with these issues, rather than simply saying, it's not ours to debate. It's not ours to decide. God's already determined it. God's already said it. And as I've said so often, ladies and gentlemen, God said it. That settles it, whether we want to accept it or not. And that ought to be the mantra of the Southern Baptist Convention today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0916, 831-0916. Love to have your input, your dialogue and discussion. What do you think? Do you think these issues ought to be debated by any convention? Do you think that any church, listen, do you think that any church of any denomination would have the right and the authority to make the determination outside of the Word of God as to how these issues ought to be handled and or embraced? I believe it is absolutely indicative of where we are as a society today, where we're finding more and more of our so-called denominational organizational structures becoming a political tool, a political tent, if you will, to try to get greater and greater numbers, and expanding the tent so that you can get greater numbers in it without looking at what does the Word of God say and being more concerned about that. The Bible clearly condemns sodomites. The Bible clearly condemns the LGBTQ community and that lifestyle. The Bible clearly says that in that lifestyle, an individual die and go to a devil's hell unless they repent. So why would a denomination fight over what to do about that issue? But this week, the SBC will fight over and try to determine how to handle the LGBTQ issue. They will again debate over and vote over and try to determine what they should do about the critical race theory. In 2019, the Southern Baptist Convention had a resolution that they voted on and embraced, and in that resolution, it was approving of the embracing of the critical race theory. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I simply am very, very clear and direct with that. Why should any denomination embrace a socialist, Marxist, communist agenda that divides the citizens, and there ought to be nothing in the embracing of a denomination that will divide the body of Christ? And yet they embraced that in 2019. It's been fomenting now for 2+ years. And as a result of that, the meeting in 2021, this year's meeting, is going to be an explosive meeting. The real debates, by the way, starts today. The real debate as to whether or not to embrace these things and the different resolutions that will be tendered will be today and tomorrow. We need to be concerned about it. We need to be praying for that organizational structure, that God will intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue this discussion on the battle for the Bible right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.